woman. You may be seated. TT is here in the nursery this morning, and so you're welcome to take little ones there if you would like. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I have often wondered what influenced these questions written by the psalmist. Did he actually want to flee from God's presence or be hidden from God by darkness? Had he done something that led him to believe that he should hide from God? Or was the psalmist actually full of great thanksgiving as he understood that even when he was acting his worst, when his character and his actions didn't align with the ways of God, that God would not let him out of his sights, that his love for him was unshakable? The psalmist seems confident that even in trying to flee from God, even in trying to hide from God in the darkness, that God would find him, guide him, hold him, and shine light on him. Peter, Jesus' disciple, most likely would have been familiar with the words of this psalm. Maybe he heard it read in the temple, or maybe Jesus weaved it into his teaching when he was with the disciples. And in our Lenten journey, we meet Peter when his world is turned upside down. Jesus, against Peter's great refusal, washed Peter's feet. Jesus told the disciples that he was going to leave them. And then Peter said very adamantly that he would lay down his life for Jesus. And we hear Jesus say to Peter, "Peter, you will disown me 3 times. We read of Peter's denial of the 3 times that he said the words he never thought that he would say. I'm very sad when I read of Peter's denial that this part of Peter's life is really recorded in Scripture multiple times. This is not the way that Peter, who was so exuberant in his faith and in his following of Jesus, this is not the way that he would have wanted to be remembered. And I also have great empathy for Peter. This was no easy circumstance that Peter found himself in. Jesus had been arrested, and most of those gathered around wanted Jesus to be crucified. And here is Peter, amongst these very determined people, being asked to stand with courage in the face of potential danger, ridicule, and judgment. Peter chose to hide his identity as a follower of Jesus, and to hide from harm and anything else that might befall him. Peter wanted to avoid suffering, physical suffering, and emotional suffering. And so he denied Jesus. This week at Snack Attack, a woman who had previously served with the program through her college placement, she returned for a visit, and she brought her boyfriend with her. And as she introduced me to him, she said, "Catherine is a committed Christian." Kate laughs. Yeah. Kate was there also. I said, "Oh, so is Kate." And I was startled to hear these words of introduction because I didn't quite know how to respond. So I was both thankful and I was a little hesitant because I didn't know how this friend of hers would interpret this. What exactly did being a committed Christian mean to this guy? I didn't know if he would form a positive or a negative thought about me. And so I can understand why Peter hid his identity. In today's culture, being a follower of Christ isn't always received very well. There's lots of judgment against Christians, sometimes rightfully so, as we don't live out the ways of Christ in a way that is welcoming and loving. And so I kind of, with this guy, wanted to avoid any preconceived judgment that he might have formed in me being introduced as a committed Christian. I wonder if Peter thought of the words of the psalmist as he acknowledged that he had done that which he never intended to do. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Have you ever wanted to flee the presence of God? Do you, like me, ever act or think or speak in a way that goes against the ways you want to be as a follower of Christ? I think even this week at home, in a grumpy mood, I spoke in a way that didn't represent who I want to be as a follower of Christ. And we're not alone in doing this. Romans 7 speaks of the complexities of our human nature. It's a complicated verse to read. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So let's read this together. It's on the screen. Thank you. Here we go. I do not understand. Doesn't it make sense when you read that out loud? I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. This happens to us in situations of life when something unexpected pops out of our mouth or a thought is in our head or an action that we do. The verse continues, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the end of Romans 7, and then immediately Romans 8 opens up with this beautiful declaration that I'm also going to invite you to join me in reading. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. When we do that which we do not want to do, Jesus understands us and we remain set free because of his sacrifice for us. In predicting that Peter would deny him, Jesus was not setting Peter up for failure. Jesus wasn't condemning Peter. He wasn't shaming Peter. It couldn't be that because those are not the ways that Jesus works. That is not who Jesus is. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Peter definitely followed Jesus with his whole heart. So why does Jesus speak this prediction to Peter? What tone do you think that Jesus was using? In the same evening that Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him, Jesus offers these words of comfort to his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus knew how confusing and challenging this time was for his disciples. He knew and he loved Peter. And I believe that Jesus was sympathizing with Peter as well as speaking words of truth that he hoped that Peter would cling to in the midst of his weakness and his fear. Peter, don't let your heart be troubled. When you fail, when you do that which you don't want to do, when you are weak, Remember, Peter, that I want you to be with me. I was raised in quite a strict household, and I was told that if I did certain things, and I know the list, it is ingrained in my mind, that if I did those certain things, that I would not be welcomed back into the home. And this was said with a deep determination that we will not open the door if you do these things. And so I lived quite nervous, actually, and my behavior was mostly good, especially avoiding those things on the list. And one night, my brother broke one of the rules, and he found himself in a very scary situation. He didn't know who to call. He didn't know where he would be welcomed. He felt frightened, and he felt alone, believing that he would be met with judgment and not with love. Where can I go from your spirit, O God? Where can I flee? I think that was part of his wondering that night. As parents, Terry and I really, really hope that our kids would make wise and safe choices. And we also wanted them to know that if they ever found themselves in troubled situations, that they could call us, that we would come. We would not come in anger. We would not come with our list of questions. We would come and welcome them with our love and take them home. This doesn't mean that there wouldn't be further conversation maybe the next day, or that there might not be some discipline that would follow their choices. But we always wanted them to know that they are loved and that we would always welcome them. Scripture tells us that Peter wept bitterly after denying Jesus. His emotional response shows his deep regret and his repentance. And yet at the same time, he carried this memory of denying Christ with him as he watched Jesus die on the cross. Though these moments would have been so despairing for Peter, we also get to look further ahead into Peter's story as later he meets with Jesus on a beach around the campfire in the passage from John 21 that Chris read earlier. Verse 7 in chapter 21 of John just paints such a beautiful picture. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and he jumped into the water. Once again, Peter is all in. He leapt from the boat. And this again shows his exuberant love for Jesus and his deep belief in Jesus' love for him. Jesus welcomes Peter, and he offers him the opportunity at another fire to say three times whose he is and to acknowledge that he belongs to Jesus. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, care for my lambs." Three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter does go on to tend to and feed and care for many. And he actually dies for the great love that he showed to Jesus and Jesus' followers. He becomes the boldest of the bold. 1 Peter 5:10 is a beautiful reminder as we look at Peter's life. It reads, "And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, strengthen, confirm, and settle you." Like Peter, who suffered in the feelings that he had failed Jesus, we are promised that God will do these same four things for us. He will restore us. He will confirm his love for us. He will strengthen us, and he will settle us. So there is hope for the least bold among us. There is hope for the part in each of us that fails, that chooses maybe the easier way, that does what we don't want to do. Jesus welcomes us to come to him and to join him. to be met with his great restorative love, and to be reestablished into new beginnings over and over again. Amen. I'm going to invite us to join together in reading a poem, a prayer, sorry, that is written by John Davies. And Hannah's going to put up on the slide, and we're going to read this together, and then we'll sing our last song with Chris.